Dear Heavenly Father, you have given us the right to approach you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and bring to you our requests and thanks. Hear us when we pray on behalf of our close and loved ones' mutual concerns. A sister asks for the prayers of God's children on behalf of her immediate family, where the father recently ascended into heaven right before summer services, so the family would have the strength to endeavor through the pain and would look with trust into the future. A believing couple asks that our Heavenly Father would give him the faith of a child, the thankful mind, and a longing for heaven in the midst of their trials. A family listening to services not here, that a child sick with leukemia would get well, and the family members would have the strength to believe in the midst of this great trial. Many brothers and sisters asks for prayers on behalf of them and their dear ones who are sick, that they would be comforted and that they would have the strength to accept God's will, would remain trusting in His guidance, and would remain believing. A sister asks that God would bless their home services and that they would remain believing. A sister asks that God would bless their home services and her neighbor's seriously ill child would become well, and that this child and his mother would become would receive the great grace of repentance. Many service guests ask for prayers on behalf of themselves and their dear ones, that they would remain in faith to the end and would reach heaven, and that God would bless their temporal concerns. Dear Father, bring your help to those homes where relationships are broken and family unity is breaking apart. Grant mercy for those who have a hard time to deal with each other's bitterness, blame, or doubts. Give those family members a reconciliatory and forgiving mindset so that each to their own would have the strength to do their best on behalf of their home and family. Many mentally ill or asks for the prayers of the children of God on their own behalf so that they would receive assistance in their struggles. A sister asks that she would have the encouragement to go to services and get the feeling of belonging in the congregation in the midst of her own trials. Another sister would ask for the strength to return to work and would have the ability to endeavor to the end. A sister listening to services from outside the service site asks for assistance in her sickness, her pain, and her loneliness. Believing sisters ask that their alcoholic brother would receive the grace of repentance and would be able to overcome his problems with alcohol. A sister asks on behalf of her brother so that he would receive the grace of repentance and be able to rid himself of drugs. Many service guests ask that their children, their friends, and their relatives would receive the grace of repentance. Many service guests want to thank that God has answered many of their prayers. Dear Heavenly Father, you grant through your love our earthly trials. Feed us then as well with your gospel. Thank you for hearing our prayers. I thought to read for the direction of these services a very familiar portion of the Bible to all of us, from the Gospel of St. Matthew. These words are written in chapter 25, and from there, verse 1 to 13, the words are in Jesus' name. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to greet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Amen. Our text, last verse, is very stopping. There it says, as we heard, Watch, therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. In many parts of God's Word, we are encouraged to watch. In the beginning of our text, also it spoke of that then, shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. We could, here as listeners, ask a question. What is this moment when God's kingdom is as the 10 virgins? We are not the only who present this question. Well, in the previous verse, in verse 24, in the same Gospel of St. Matthew, in verse 3, the disciples say, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" After this question, Jesus spoke to his disciples of these signs. We will not read this chapter, but he spoke of many signs and tribulations. And in that same chapter, later, in verse 22, states, "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." There will come matters which are clear signs of when is God's kingdom as likened to the 10 virgins. But then, he also states in verse 36, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Here it is very important words of God. Jesus speaks and teaches, and he still, in the same chapter, in verse 40, a couple verses, he brings this forth in an example. "Then shall be two in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for ye know not the hour your Lord doth come." Our text, in its core message, touches on that last verse, watching. Lord Jesus is wise, clever, and as we know, the only who has survived as a human without sin. And as we know, and as we have learned and have felt and have heard, how Jesus always takes those examples through which he wants to teach people how matters are. Now, when we have read this text, it is for sure very familiar to all of us, but I had to admit my ignorance that when I read this text, I did not fully understand of what exactly was being spoken of here. This example here was an example. Here, a person living today's time, a bit foreign. It is perhaps good to return to those times when this, from where does this example come from? In the Middle East, wedding traditions of those times were such that the bridegroom dressed in nice clothes, that totally fine clothes, and also her friends. And they would gather into one area to spend time together and to prepare for the wedding. Those friends gathered together. And here, as we have heard of the bridegroom, we speak of God's kingdom. Also, the groom was getting prepared. I understand, and I heard, and I understood when I read that of the same, like in the same manner, the groom gathered up his friends, and they also spent time together and prepared for the wedding festivities. The groom also had those responsibilities that they would think of that time together with his father. And there, with his father, this groom would prepare the events such that that new couple could live there. Our Lord Jesus, when he spoke of this parable, we can anew understand how full Jesus' parables are. I think of that in those times, they had the tradition that this groom would go to his father. We remember how God's word teaches us that Lord Jesus went to his father to prepare for his own a place. And now, when Jesus spoke of this example, all those who were there understood what he was talking about. In these traditions, it also relevant that this groom would go with his friends to pick up the bridegroom and her friends. And we are told that it often happened at nighttime, or at least very late in the day. Our text even says in the middle of the night, at midnight. The bridegroom and her friends did not know the timing. Just think of this, how the Lord Jesus wanted to teach that when the people who lived at that time, they lived and understood that the nobody knew when the groom was coming. But when that happens for reals, nobody knows for sure. And As our text tells us, in those times there was a tradition that through a yell they would wake the people up. And now the groom is here. Or behold, the and then those friends of the bride, they had an oil lamp which shone very brightly, so that this groom with his friends would be able to find the bride and her friends. This is also a familiar matter for the people who lived then. For us, it's a oil lamp is a bit foreign, but we know what we're talking about. Now, when those wedding festivities back then, the groom would go pick up the bride and her friends, also would go with them those who were awake, those who were ready. When they heard the yell, then these friends would go outside and they would prepare that here he comes to pick us up. And then it happened that the groom would bring the bride and her friends and there to the house of his father, to the wedding festivities. And when all who were awake and ready were able to go, the doors would be shut. This was traditional during these times. If you were late, you were unable to enter the wedding festivities. This Jesus told as his parable to those people who lived at that time and tells us today. And he wants to point out to us that, as we stated in our last verse, that we should watch and we should stay awake. So now we can ponder, and it may be a bit scary, this portion where at first it says that all of the bride's friends, these virgins, there was one group, and I understand that they were in God's kingdom, but only a portion of them were ready when the groom came. Now, it can be that someone who is here in the service tent, at the service site, at the lodgings, or listening through the internet, you may be worried. Am I wise or foolish? Dear service guests, in God's kingdom, as a very large oil vessel from which everyone can partake the gospel, which is that Holy Spiritual oil, so that our flame of faith remains burning. Now, when we consider ourselves, and we would say, I am fared so poorly, that I am probably not in the group of the wise. I have sin. We remember, and it is important we remember, that only Jesus Christ is the only one who has survived without sinning. Another important matter is to remember that if sin has attached itself to our heart, it does not mean that the flame of faith has it extinguished. It does not mean this. There is a question here. What is our mind of our heart, our will and our want? So if we want to remain believing and we pray from God that we have the power that from our dear God, that please give us the strength that I can put away those sins that away my conscience. That is the right mindset. God gives that the opportunity. But if our minds would be such that I don't exactly want to listen to the teachings of the Word of God, I pick my own way, which I travel. This feels for me good. If I in this way live and reject the Word of God, the encouragements, it is not easy for us when that the Word of God tells us to humble yourself under the powerful hand of God. Our time, which we live, which is in many ways very, very good. If we think that in the year of our grace, 2017, our matters are so good that in this great sight we can keep services and all people are supporting that we can here proclaim the gospel. But here in our time, there's also this kind of concern which is not according to the mindset of God. That a person would start feeling this type of power within themselves, that he would not need to listen to God's word, that he need not belong to the unity of the children of God, that he not need to go to the services of the children of God, but I can get by without those as well. This is a dangerous path. Every one of us knows that if a person does not get food, one fares poorly. We don't have to be long without food. The professionals can know for sure when a person will fade away. But the same thing is for a believing person. That Word of God teaches that it is important to go in the hearing of the Word of God. And when the person can be in the hearing of the Word of God and hear what God wants to tell me today, then they are themselves feeding that faith. And And then when in the services of the children of God, our sins are proclaimed forgiven, a person can believe their errors, their mistakes, forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. It is easy for the unbeliever not to understand what this means, that we proclaim sins forgiven. Shortly, when the mind of the person is such that they would prefer to do their own ways, own things, so that they'd be acceptable to God. There's also such spiritualities which encourages doing precise matters and a lot of work, and that then you'd be worthy into the kingdom of God. But think of this, that here, when you're listening to this sermon, a person who feels in their heart, I don't have this peace of God in my heart. I cannot experience that same joy which those children of God amongst themselves can experience. And think, are you thousands of kilometers away, or here on site at this service site, or in this service tent? God knows what you need. And think, he does not present any thresholds. There is no lists to say that these need to be done first, then you shall have your sins forgiven. No. His only question is, do you want to believe and leave to follow the Lord Jesus and his own? And if your answer is that I do, then you will be proclaimed from the kingdom of God. Sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. All are forgiven. And no further questions will be asked. Jesus Christ has endured on the central cross of Golgotha on behalf of all our sins. He has won over death. He has arisen. And from that, won over our sins. That won through the grace of God and through the work of Jesus Christ, it is possible for us to receive our forgiveness for our sins. For this reason, that if anyone is listening who is thinking these matter, the most important duty of the speaker in this evening moment is to proclaim to you all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood, unto peace and joy. You do not need to worry about, do I know how to behave as a believer? No need. The Heavenly Father, through this gospel, gives the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ comes and lives in your heart, and he teaches all, each of us, children of God. But then, God's word encourages us to be obedient. This is a little red flag in today's time. For this reason, that we don't really want to accept any authority. God's word nevertheless encourages us to obedience under God's word. And then the children of God, because we know times change, for example. So we need to ponder from time to time. How should the children of God react in this situation? And God, through His Spirit, gives us the understanding that makes our hearts feel good. And our Lord Jesus Christ, who is living there, He does not have an issue with it. And then we know that this is the good way forward. There's many of those kind of matters where God's Spirit has enlightened the proper way to behave. Very quickly, from this text, I had a thought that this wedding festivities, the preparations thereof, in today's times, we have a. I took clear that in 1800s, this bachelor party type of thing has come to Finland. When we tell older people, or 1980s, and when we tell older people that before the weddings, there are these parties. The groom with his friends, the bride with her friends, gather together with their friends and have a fun time together. There is that kind of echo that in the Finnish culture, quite a lot of alcohol is connotated with this. But in the midst of the children of God, the group of boys will gather and a group of girls will gather and will sit and spend the evening together. But we don't have alcohol there. It doesn't have a place there. The children of God are through that action speaking and understand through faith that alcohol does not belong to the child of God. Many of us know that alcohol has brought many into many families and to many people have brought problems. It has been seen as good that it is not for the children of God and relying on the Word of God. It is not a drink for the children of God. But we can spend time together, have fun, and enjoy the being together and enjoy most of all that we have our sins are forgiven. Dear brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you through tonight's service guest that even if the world draws you nigh, it feeds you many kinds of hooks through which it tries to pull you in to leave the kingdom of God. And it wants you to neglect your well-being of your conscience. And as we stated, in the midst of God's kingdom, there is a large oil vessel from which each of us can partake that gospel from which the Word of God tells us convincingly that who believes that he is as his it's good for the grace, and through that power of the gospel we will one day get to our home in heaven. For this reason, remain believing, all your sins forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood, unto peace, joy. And in Jesus' name, amen.